Amen. If you would turn to Psalms 95, please. That is our scripture reading, church scripture reading for today. Psalms 95, page 972. You're welcome. That helps a little bit. I know it does, you know, because you're looking through trying to get it, you know, and it's like, oh, then you two pages stick together and all that stuff, you know, whatever. So 972. All right, y'all ready to read together? If you don't have your Bibles, it's going to be up on the television there. Amen. Starting with verse 1, Psalms 95, verse 1. It says, O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Verse 2. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving, and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. Verse 3. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. Now, that makes you want to shout, huh? He's a great God, my Lord. Come on, people. There's nothing too hard that God, I need to stop, but that he can't handle. Number 4. In his hands are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also. 5. The sea is his, and he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. 6. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. 7. For he is our God. We are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice. 8. Harden not your heart as in the provocation, as in the day of temptation in the wilderness. 9. When your fathers tempted me, proved me and saw my work. 10. 40 years long was I grieved with this generation and said, it is a people who do err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. 11. Unto whom I swore in my wrath that they should not enter into my rest. My Lord, great is your God. Great is your God. People, it makes you want to shout, huh? He's a great God, people. Whatever happens in this life does not compare to the greatness of our God. My Lord, my Lord, my Lord, and what he can do and what he can accomplish. If you would, stretch forth your hands this way, please, towards me, and asking the Lord just to help me to preach. Father, Lord, I thank you for your anointing that is upon my life, Lord God. And Lord, I humble myself and I lay my life at your feet, Lord God. And Father, I pray that you would help me to present your word accurately, Lord God, and to give out your word with power and authority that it has and that it is, Lord. Father, I pray a mighty move of your spirit upon my life this day. Let the preacher and the teacher come out today from me. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for your prayers. I appreciate it. Let's make our declaration before him. If you would take your Bibles, say, this is life. I will honor it today as this word brings life to my spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to turn to page 2216, which is Revelations 21, verse 4. Revelations 21, verse 4. Hallelujah. Amen. Everybody has it? Good? All righty. Verse 4, it says this, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." Now, I want to read this again, and I want to read it, and I know you probably have it, and I've seen it too, what the actual Greek said, parts of it. It says, "And God shall wipe away every teardrop from their eyes." That's what the Greek, you remember, you know, the New Testament was written in Greek. And so so God is saying he shall wipe away every teardrop from our eyes. My Lord, my Lord. He refers to tears of heartache, tears of sorrow, tears of pain, tears of suffering. God has defeated the enemy and liberated his people and his creation, my Lord. It says God shall wipe away. Now, you know, you might say, well, man, that's all the way in Revelation. Yes, I understand that. But you see, at this point in time in Revelation, we know this. God defeated the enemy at Calvary's cross. He defeated death, hell, and the grave. In Revelation 21, he defeats the effects of sin. I say, Pastor, what are you getting at? When Jesus died on the cross, he defeated death, hell, and the grave and gave liberty and freedom to us. But we still have the effects of sin upon the earth. I mean, you know, that's why we have hurricanes, tsunamis. That's why we have storms. That's why we have unexpected death. That's why we have death anyway. You know, we were supposed to live forever. When God created Adam and Eve, he created them that they were never supposed to die a physical death. Never. We were supposed to live forever. We were made in the image of God. We were made like him, yet we were not God. But we were made like him. Our God has never died. He never had a beginning, and he'll never have an end. He lives forever. We were supposed to live like that. But the effects of the sin nature, or sin upon the earth, will be loosed upon the earth when the new heavens and the new Jerusalem comes down out of the heavens upon the earth. He will do away with the old earth and not destroy it, but redo it and make it back into what it was supposed to be before Adam and Eve sinned upon the earth. And that new Jerusalem, the city that is being made for his people. You know who his people are? You and I. Being made for us. Well, can you imagine? We're there. You know, you might say, well, you know, we're going to live with Jesus forever in God the Father. Yes, forever. When the rapture of the church takes place, it says that we who are alive and remaining shall be caught up together with him in the air, and so shall we ever be with him. But that's not upon the earth. That's in heaven. After 7 years of tribulation, it says that he's going to come back and we'll be right behind him. He's going to come back to rescue Israel, because they're going to be stuck against the wall, not knowing where to go, because every nation will betray them. Every nation will hate them. And he will come and he will rescue them. And after all the things that are done, and you can read it in Revelations, of all the bowls and all the stuff that's going to happen, it says in the end that the new Jerusalem, the city, will come down out of heaven. Can you imagine? Coming down upon the earth, and now the headquarters of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords will not be in heaven anymore, will be on the earth. My God. We are a privileged people. You know, when the angels, one third of them, rebelled against God, one rebellion, they got kicked out of heaven and could not go back in. There was nothing they could do to get in the graces of God ever again. But when man fell, we were made in his image like him. He had grace and mercy upon us. It says Adam and Eve, God would come in the cool of the day and he would walk with them. He still wants to walk with us. He still wants to commune with us. He still wants to share things with us. He still wants us to know him. He knows us. But he still wants to know us and us talk with him. That's where prayer comes in, praying and communicating with him. And then all of a sudden, it says one day God comes and they're nowhere to be found. God knew. God knew that they had done evil in his sight. They had done something that was against what he said not to do. And they sewed fig leaves together to cover themselves because they said, we're naked. You see, before Adam and Eve sinned, we didn't need clothes like this. You know why? Because the glory of the Father would cover us. Can you imagine? The glory of the Lord would cover us. It's like when Moses came down from the mountaintop and they were all sinning and doing all kind of evil. And he walks down and the Father knows what's going to happen, what they were doing. They built the golden calf and they did all kind of stuff. But the glory of the Lord shone upon him. The glory of God, because he had been with the Father. You see, we take on the look of the one. We take on the look and the attributes of that person that we communicate a lot with or we're with. And he was talking with God and came down that mountain and they saw the glory of the Lord upon him. But before Adam and Eve sinned, like I said, the glory of God just was over people, Adam and Eve. That was their clothes. One day we'll get back to that. One day we'll get back to where we should be and where we should have been. But it says that he will wipe every tear or every teardrop from their eyes. My Lord, my Lord. He wants to wipe those things away that causes you pain, that brings heartache into your life. One day it's coming. When that Jerusalem city comes down, that's the final thing. Look, that's it. That's it, my Lord. There are a few other occasions, but that he's making his home upon the earth. And we will abide with him forever, my Lord. What a God we serve. What a God we serve. And we sang that song, let the worshipers arise, my Lord. How we need to worship our God, giving him the praise and the honor and the glory that he so deserves. I know in this life upon the earth, every one of us has had some heart pain, huh? I'm not talking about a heart attack. Maybe a heart attack in the spirit. Just Haley laughed. I got her to laughing. Good job. A heart attack. We have heart attack physically, but heart attack in the spirit where our heart just hurts because of decisions or things that have been done to us or, you know, whatever it is. And let me tell you this. I often say, you know, We've all been the one that gave out hurt. Say amen. Amen. And we've all been ones that have received it. Amen. We want to stop being the ones that give it. And be that healing agent of help to God's people. Helping them to succeed. Helping them to overcome. Because it hurts to hurt. It hurts to hurt. I know it's two words the same, but it hurts to hurt. I want to read a story, if you would. Go to Acts chapter 16, please. He says he will dry up, or he will wipe away all those tears. Page 1939. Here we see Paul and Silas, two great men for the gospel's sake. They were preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And as they were preaching, it says that a little servant girl came and was following them all over the place as they were preaching. But there was something weird about this little girl, was that some people would go to her and she would like witchcraft stuff. Okay. Sorcery stuff. She would tell them the future or whatever it was, which was not of God, not with that. She was demon-possessed. This servant girl was demon-possessed, and she claimed to give advice and counsel from the spirit world and also brought in much money for her owners. So somebody owned her and would take the money that she would receive. She would say to Paul and Silas, would show us a way of salvation. You read it, and I thought, show us a way of salvation. Or they were they a way of salvation, which was not saying they were the way of salvation. So here she was going and she'd say, listen to Paul and Silas. Now, full of not godly person. But there was, you have to understand, it wasn't her. It was the demons inside of her saying this. And she was saying, look, they'll show you a way instead of the way. You see, Paul and Silas were preaching to the people saying, the way is Jesus. It's not just a way. And look, we got to be careful today. Look, today there's all kind of stuff going on. They'll tell you can go this way, that way, and God has 100 doors to heaven. Let me tell you this. The scripture says there's only one door. One door, and that door is occupied by Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And a lot of people will accept God, but they will not accept Jesus Christ. And let me tell you, if you don't accept Jesus Christ, you can't accept God. Because God has made him the official door of heaven and the official door upon the earth. There's no other way for salvation. There's no other way to get into heaven except by accepting Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I know people, you come across people just like me, they'll try, well, there's many ways. And you'll say, no, there isn't. And they get upset. But that's okay. I'd rather them get upset here upon the earth then end up in a place that's not good, called hell. Now, God give us wisdom for sure and help us. But we have to express that He is the only way. Paul, after this girl was following him for days, he was grieved in his spirit. You know, that means that the Spirit of God didn't show him anything till the exact time of that day. See, many a times God will, you'll be doing stuff and you're doing it, da da da, and all of a sudden the Spirit of God will speak to you something. And you've been doing that for whatever. And God will say, no, not anymore. Stop it. Or be careful or watch it. That's the Spirit of Almighty God that lives inside of you, that is leading you and guiding you. Paul and Silas were preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And this girl, teenage girl basically, was following them. And saying, you know, there's a way. And all of a sudden, Paul, grieved in his spirit by the Holy Ghost, turns to that girl and wasn't speaking to the girl, really. Remember that. To the spirit behind it, which is a demonic spirit, said, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And that thing left in Jesus' name, my Lord. And all of a sudden, she could not give the direction or the help or whatever as people came for direction and help. She couldn't give it anymore. And her owners got upset because she was bringing in mega money for them. Mega money. Look, people, I know, as far as I know, if everybody's a Christian, don't ever go to a palm reader. Don't ever go to a place where tarot cards. You don't need that stuff. You shouldn't even want to even desire to go to that stuff. Nothing of the evil world. We don't do that stuff. We turn to God. And if God doesn't answer us, we serve God no matter what. No matter what. We serve Him. Because He is our King. He is our Lord. We never turn to the evil world for direction or help. We turn to the Spirit of Almighty God, the Holy Spirit that is roaming the earth, that is here for His people, His children, giving us direction through His Word, through maybe a great Christian song, through other people, but Christians that love the Lord, that God will give the direction and the help that we need. And the Holy Spirit that lives on the inside of you, God leads His people. God leads you. The God on the inside, the Holy Spirit that is in you, is saying, I will lead you. The decision you have to make, turn it over to me, and I will help you in that decision. I will show you what to do. I will show you how to do it, when to do it, where to do it. That's the kind of God we serve. That is wanting to lead His people in the right direction. And all of a sudden, her owners got so mad at Paul and Silas that they took them, they arrested them, and beat them. See, we don't hear that nowadays. We think of Christianity as you're going to be a millionaire. Let me tell you, there's many on the tube. You need to turn off. Because they stealing your money. They stealing your money, your time. They giving you stuff that is leaven, that will leaven the lump, that will not help you to be what God wants you to be. Turn it off. Turn it off. There are a lot of wolves that are in sheep's clothing. Don't get close to it. Don't send them a dime. Don't send them a penny. Don't do it. You might say, Pastor, I get upset because I see them stealing from God's people. And I can't stand it. It irks me on the inside. It doesn't settle good on the inside. I pray they would repent and ask God to forgive them. Send me $100 and I'll send you this little bottle of oil. What a shame. You know they got that oil from Walmart. The same oil you could buy for cheap. I'm telling you. They'll try to sell you oil from Israel. It doesn't matter where it's made. So what? Don't get into those things. This is what you need. Read it. Devour it. Get it in your spirit. Saying, Lord, help me. Help me. They got so mad at Paul and Silas that they took them and they beat them with rods, scourging them. I mean, to the pulp. Look at this. Let's go and read Acts chapter 16, starting with verse 22. It says, "And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them." They took off their clothes. And probably, you might be saying, probably what they did, they took off to the waist. Probably. That's what most people think. Now, I have to tell you, that's what most people think, because we're not 100%, but that's what usually happened. "And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Who, having received such a charge, thrust him into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks." And look at verse 25. "And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them." It says that God would wipe every tear or every teardrop from our eyes. Here we see Paul and Silas was giving out the message of salvation, of healing, of help. Little girl was demon possessed. She got delivered. Her owners got mad at Paul and Silas. They threw him into prison after they beat them. And the prison jailer, they gave him authority to do whatever he wanted with them. Some seem to think that as the jailer got a hold of them, that he beat them more than what they had received. They were up to almost death, people. This is Paul, the Apostle Paul. This is Silas. This is not supposed to happen to them. As Christians, we're not supposed to be talked about or hit or any of that stuff. We are God's children. Yes, we are. And God will take care of those things. But sometimes things happen. And I'm sure as they were going through this, it was hard for them. See, some things in life are hard, huh? Say amen. Because I know it's truth. I know it. Some things in life are hard. Hard. Some things in life is hard at home with children and family and friends and church and whatever other stuff. Some things are hard on the job. But if God be with us, who can be against us? And we stand firm. And here they are laying in that prison. That jailer beats them again and takes them to the innermost prison part of that prison, the most secure place. And he lays them down. They're laying down upon the rock. And he spreads their legs out and puts them in shackles. And spreads out their arms and puts it in shackles. And as I read a little bit about this, they said, the longer you stay in that position, the worse the pain gets in your legs of the muscles that are being stretched. And Paul and Silas stayed in that position because they helped a little girl be delivered, because God said so. And he was grieved by the Holy Ghost. Yet because of what he did, it seems like he got in trouble with the world. We're to do what God calls us to do, to preach deliverance to the captive, to bring salvation to souls, to help people no matter what we have to do, to help them to come in relationship to the Lord God Almighty. And as they're there, it says that they started to pray, but it wasn't just at midnight they started to pray. They were just praising and singing from the time they got there. They talk about midnight. You don't want to know why? Because that's when God came in. You see, even though you may shed tears, even though you may go through heartache, can you lift up your hand and say, "Father, I don't understand, but I'll praise you. I'll praise you. I'll praise you. I'll praise you. I'll praise you." Or do we just go around and say, "Well, there's no hope"? Just think, if Paul and Silas would have laid there and said, "There's no hope. My legs hurt. My legs are in pain." Now, we don't know what God did. God could have taken away the pain. We don't know, but they probably were in pain, suffering for the gospel's sake. We don't hear about suffering for the gospel's sake anymore. If we hear about it, it's because they've done something wrong. That's not truth. And because someone is blessed beyond measure, thinking that they're all okay, that's absolutely not truth. God looks at the heart of a man, the heart of the woman, and says, "What can I do?" And keeping our hearts right with him. And all of a sudden, their legs are spread out, their arms are spread. And look, they're in the dungeon. And look, there's things that are crawling around, from spiders to snakes to rats to everything you can think of in those places. Because they could care less about those prisoners. They could care less. So as they're singing, maybe a rat comes over their mouth. Who knows? But he keeps singing and saying, "Lord, you're the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords." I'm not saying it was pleasant. Or can you imagine you singing? And something starts to slither. We say, "Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. For God has given us grace and mercy." But they started to sing. I wonder what they sang. I know they probably didn't sing, "Let the worshipers arise." But maybe they were singing something to their, "Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. Who saved a wretch like me? I once was lost, but now I'm found, my Lord." But they were singing praises unto their God. We have to learn from these men. We have to learn from them what they went through. We have to learn that we cannot be weak. And I'm not saying weak physically. I'm saying just weak spiritually. Because you see, our faith in Christ makes us strong. Our faith in Christ makes us strong. Keep your faith in Him. "Lord, whatever I have to go through, if it's something physical, let me go through it with grace and mercy. If it's something traumatic, let me go through it with grace and mercy." There they were, just started, and then at midnight, they just started singing and praising God and thanking Him for who He is. All of a sudden, there was an earthquake that shook the prison. Can you imagine? They just there, singing, praising unto their God, and an earthquake comes in, caused by God Almighty, that it shakes the prison walls. It shakes the jail itself. It shakes it. That it shakes it to the place that every shackle upon Paul and Silas and all the other prisoners comes off. It opens the doors of the prison cells. All of that happens, and the jailer is still asleep. Oh, my Lord. The jailer that took Paul and Silas and beat them again and put them in shackles is still asleep. And then all of a sudden he wakes up and he sees all the prison doors open. He sees all the prisoners without the shackles on. He sees them, number one, with Paul and Silas, standing up. And he goes to kill himself. Because he knew if they escaped, and he thought they had, or were going to, death was at his door. And all of a sudden, Paul calls out to the jail and says, "We're all here. We're all here." And the jailer comes. And look, God does a mighty miracle. It says that the jailer's house, his home, his whole family got saved. My God. You see the miracle working power of our God. We do our part and God handles the rest. He does his part. My God. My God. That's the kind of God we serve. We trust him. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not on your own understanding. Trust him. Trust him. It will never go against his word, what he tells us to do. That's how you can measure things. Because sometimes the enemy speaks. Lo and behold, our own mind speaks. Huh? And lo and behold, thank God, his spirit speaks. It's an amazing thing. That jailer comes and he read it in scripture. He looks at Paul and Silas and all this family got saved. And he starts to clean off the stripes that were on their back. The pain, cleaning it off for them. He saw a God that was merciful. He saw a God that could help him. That's the kind of God we serve. He will wipe every tear or every teardrop from our eyes. It says in John chapter 1, verse 29 and 36, it says, as John was baptizing, and they were coming, I mean, hundreds were baptized. He looks up and he sees a man coming. And it takes him by surprise. And he looks at him as he stops baptizing and he declares something. He says, behold, the Lamb of God. Behold, the Lamb of God. And we know the Lamb of God who takes away the sins, the sin of the world. Behold the Lamb. We got to make sure we keep our eyes on the Lamb. Make sure we keep our eyes upon Jesus Christ and nothing else. Don't get your eyes on your spouse. Don't get your eyes on your children. Don't get your eyes on your pastor. Don't get your eyes on friends and family. And I'm talking spiritually. Don't get your eyes on anybody else except the Lamb of God. Amen. And he will lead you and direct you. And the tears that you shed, he will wipe away someday when the New Jerusalem comes down. My Lord. And he will cancel all the effects of the sin nature upon the earth. And there's a new heaven and a new earth that we get to start all over again. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. He cares about your soul. He cares about your life. He cares about you and who you are. Amen. You may stand, please. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. As every head is bowed, if you don't mind.